So first of all, before we begin anything, I would like to remind you that we are here for his sake. We are here for the sake of our beloved. We are not here for our sake. This is not a gathering where you come to get something, but to participate in something, to be aligned to something, to really to... Like any spiritual gathering, it is for the sake of he to whom we belong, to whom our hearts have been aligned. So maybe just now, just for a moment, we can go inside and just affirm or make conscious that inner connection, that inner alignment, this recognition of our beloved. Because for Sufis, of course, God is the beloved. That is, it is to the beloved to whom we pray, the beloved to whom we long to return, the beloved to whom we belong. So we go just for a moment just to remember that inner truth, that inner connection. So some of you have been to these gatherings before, some of you have been to other Sufi gatherings, some of you have not been to any Sufi gatherings, and that is the way it should be. Because Sufism is about oneness. At its inner level, at the level of inner experience, it is of course the oneness of lover and beloved. The oneness of the seeker and the truth, the oneness with God. This is the oneness that is stamped into the soul, the oneness that our heart cries out to remember. The oneness, if you like, the world has forgotten. And this is the inner expression of this oneness, this inner core, what is said in the Quran, he loves them and they loved him. This axis of remembrance that belongs to oneness. And then there is the outer expression of that oneness, the outer manifestation of that oneness. Wheresoever you turn, there is the face of God. And that is the oneness in which you come to realize that everything is he, everything is the beloved. Wheresoever you turn, there is his face. This is the oneness within manifestation in the outer world. And this is, of course, a very fundamental mystical experience when, for a moment, the veils of separation are lifted and you glimpse that truth. It is not a concept, it is not an idea, it is a living truth that everything is one. And once you realize that, and you then something in you opens, something in you awakens, and then you can participate in life, in your daily life, as participating in oneness, realizing that everything is part of this extraordinary creation, this extraordinary manifestation of the One. And everything is here for His sake. Whether it is a leaf on a tree, a note of music, a car stuck in a traffic jam, it is all here for his sake. That is this primary mystical awareness. And so when we come together as Sufis, as lovers of God, as those who seek to remember what the world has forgotten, we come also with that awareness that we are all one. We are all part of this living oneness, this dynamic expression of the oneness of our beloved. And if we can bring that awareness into this meeting, into this gathering of lovers of God, then we can help something come alive. We can help this inner oneness, this consciousness of oneness, that He is one, that there is nothing other than God. We can help it come alive in a world that I think is hungry for that awareness. Recently, I read a very beautiful passage from Hazrat Inayat Khan that he wrote almost 100 years ago, actually during the First World War. And what he said then is just so true now. He said, "What the world needs today is not so much preaching or religious teaching. What the world needs most is the mystical outlook. To look upon the world with the mystic's attitude, and to see the whole of humanity as one, the single being, the only being. In order to bring this idea to the world, it is not only necessary that there should be esoteric centers, but also that the message of universal kinship, which is essential to mysticism, should be given freely to all people." And this is really an opportunity to come together and live this oneness. Because I really believe that that secret that the mystic has held for humanity for centuries needs to come alive in the world. Just as Hazrat Inayat Khan said over a century ago, it needs to come alive in the now. There is a hunger for oneness. There are so many forces in the world that are pulling us apart, that are drawing us into separation, that are taking us into opposition. And we know in our hearts that there is a deeper truth. There is a deeper reality, which is not a reality of duality, not a reality of right or wrong, but a reality of oneness that belongs to God. And I feel that if we have glimpsed that, if we have been given that gift of awareness of what is real, then we have a responsibility to live it. Because my teacher, he said, we are never given for ourselves, it is always for others. And so this gathering is about oneness on many different levels. It is about oneness because people have come together from many different places, from all over America, and some people have come from Europe, from Switzerland, from Germany, from England, from Canada, from Mexico. So on a physical plane, this is a meeting that belongs to oneness, a coming together. A coming together not because we want something, but because we want to give something. Because we want to celebrate something in our hearts and in our consciousness. Because we want to make this gift of oneness which we have been given real, make it alive, not just individually, but first of all, as a group of people who on the physical plane have made the effort to come together. This may sound like something very, very simple and very ordinary, but it is terribly important. That you made the effort to be here. That you made the effort to come together for the sake of what is real, not for your own sake, not to get something. This is not a gathering where you come to learn information. Yes, you may find that during the presentations you receive things, but that is only incidental. What matters is each in our own way we participate in this gathering. We participate through our awareness, through our remembrance, through our inner silence, through being present, through our recognition of what is real, in whatever way it is for us, because there is a uniqueness of a human being. It is said he never creates the same form twice, and we are each unique, so we each witness his oneness in our own unique way. And this is part of the really the miracle of mature spirituality, that we each, it is said there are as many ways to God as there are human beings, as many as the breaths of the children of men. And so this is not a gathering where you are going to be told what to do or how to do it. There is going to be a sharing. Yes, in the outer, there is a form. There is a form of a conference, of speakers, of people sitting in chairs. And that is so incidental. That is just, remember, Sufis, you never judge things by appearances. And then there is this very important esoteric principle that Christ said, when two or three are gathered together, there I am also. When people come together for the sake of God, for the sake of Allah, for the sake of that which has no name. Remember, the Sufi says, in the name of he who has no name, but who appears by whatever name you call him. Because the mystic knows that he, that, is unnameable. So we call him Allah, we call him beloved, we call him our inner friend, we call him our secret lover. It doesn't matter. It is the unnameable essence that has stamped itself into our heart. When we come together for his sake, then we welcome in the mystery of the beloved. We welcome it into the space that is here. We say, beloved, use me. Use me for your purposes. I am your willing servant, your slave. I am an empty piece of paper for you to use to write on what you will. I am here in this world that seems to have forgotten you, that is so caught in the forces of dualism that it has forgotten your inexplicable oneness, the mystery of your union. And then something can happen. Something can happen in this strange meeting place between the inner and the outer, between the seen and the unseen. As I say, on the physical plane, we are here together, in a space, in a certain time. And we will spend the weekend together. And please, friends, remember, because this is a Sufi gathering, it is not all about sitting and listening. It is about also walking or talking to friends, being together, being alone. There is space. In this conference, there is breathing space. It is not a gathering that every moment is filled. And some people like to be together and to laugh and to tell stories and just to share a cup of tea and eat together. And that is part of the physical presence. It is very important in the Sufi tradition. I remember once I met somebody from Mexico who was staying in, young man who was staying in America for a while. And then he went to Turkey to visit with some Sufis. And when he came back, I asked him what was it like, and he said he'd never been fed with so much food and so much love in his life. And that is part of our Sufi tradition. To be together, to be in silence, to be in prayer, to be in inner attention, to be in remembrance, to be together in the dining hall, to be together. There are beautiful trails here. There is time between breakfast and the first meeting, or later in the day if you want to walk. There is a lake. To be in nature is also, because it is all part of him. It is all part of his remembrance of himself, of his revelation of himself. So there is this physical plane, this outer. We are here in the outer world. We are here in the physical world. You may even get a roommate who snores. That is part of the physical world. I think one of the staff has a good supply of earplugs if you find yourself in that unfortunate predicament that as some of us are getting older, may happen. And that is the outer. And it's a very real outer, as you know, in 2 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to go to sleep. Or when you are together chanting the zikr. And then there is the inner. This is the inner that our culture has banished because you can't sell it, you can't market it. It is the inner because you can't control it with power dynamics. It is the inner that science didn't want to know about and said does not exist. Only the what you can see and touch or grasp with your mind is real. And we know, because we are mystics, because we are lovers, that there is this whole inner dimension, this whole inner world, not just one world, many worlds. And our spiritual practices align us with these worlds. You can even in meditation become conscious of these inner realities, or in dreams be given a glimpse of them. And when we are present in this world and we remember God, then we connect the two worlds, we bring the inner and the outer together. And we celebrate that union of inner and outer. Not as an idea, not as a concept, not as something in a book, but as a living reality. We do it with every breath, with every moment of remembrance. We welcome the mystery of God. We are his servant, his slave. The pen does not know what is being writ. We say yes to this unfathomable mystery. And so we allow this mystery to come alive. And the beauty of it and the power of it is when we do it, not just individually, but we do it as a group. There is like a collective affirmation of the mystery of God, of his power, of his potency, as well as of his incredible beauty. And then we allow that oneness that is his oneness, not our concept, but his living reality to come alive. This is so important because this is a time in humanity when things need to come together. They will either break apart and fall apart, or they will come together to the birth of something new. And I think many of us are here because we feel a calling to participate in this coming together that is a giving birth to something new. Something that belongs to God and not to humanity. Something that is greater than us. That can transcend the problems we have created. And then there is this other very important dimension of this Sufi conference, which is bringing together different Sufi traditions, quite consciously, quite deliberately. This is part of the purpose of this gathering. This is our fifth gathering, and it is part of the reason that instructions were given to create this gathering. And I don't think it has been done quite so deliberately in the West before. Bringing together Mevlevi, Jirahi, Naqshbandi, Chisti, different Sufi orders. These different threads of divine love. Each thread in itself, a spiritual tradition, a living lineage. A quality of light that comes from the inner world into this world to help human beings to go home. That's what a spiritual tradition is. If you see it on the inner, it's a beautiful, whether you can see it as a pillar of light or however you like to see it, or a thread of light that comes from the divine, from the masters of love, from the great ones who look after humanity, from the spiritual superiors, comes down through their representatives in this world. These living traditions that are here to help humanity, that have been here since the beginning of time. And each, you see, Sufism is about love. Sufis are lovers of God. This is the core. And We tend to personalize love. We tend to think love is something, I love you. And that is just an echo of the real love. The real love is, there is no duality and there is no I or you. It is an energy, it is a power. My Sheikh said it is the greatest power in creation. It is a power, it is a stream of energy that actually is at the very axis of the world. The world spins around an axis of love. We have forgotten those things. And it has always been the responsibility of Sufis and other lovers of God to look after this axis of love. It is part of the inner esoteric dimension of Sufism. We are the doorkeepers of love. We look after the axis of love. We keep pure the streams of love through our devotion, through our remembrance, through our practices, through polishing the mirror of the heart, through doing our inner work. We keep pure these streams of love that are needed for humanity. Because if those streams of love were taken away, you would find the colors would go, the song of life would slowly fade away. Something essential to life would be missing. Now you may say, we are not many, there aren't so many Sufis in the West. It does not matter. I remember this beautiful thing Mother Teresa said, when she said, it's not how much you do, it's the love you put in the doing, because then you give it to God and make it infinite. A human being who is aligned with the love of God. They look so beautiful, I wish you could see them. I have been shown what they look like in the inner worlds. They are so beautiful, they are so full of light. They really, it is what is like a true human being that is filled with the remembrance of God. And they carry this stream of love into the world. And we do it individually, through our own individual practice, through our prayers, through when we are awake in the night and cry to God, when our hearts are full of longing and our eyes are full of tears. We live this stream of love. And we do it each within our own tradition. As I say, each Sufi tradition is a different note of love. For example, the Naqshbandi tradition to which I belong, its musical note is D and its color is golden yellow. You can see it on the inner planes, a golden yellow stream of love. And the other Sufi paths have a different color. Some, for example, are the most beautiful pink. This incredible soft pink of love. It is, look at it for a moment and you are lost in intoxication. These are the different threads of love that are needed for the world. They are needed to sustain the world, to help the world come alive, to help the world to remember God. And each path is a different thread of love. And then when it comes together, like now, when these different threads of love are woven together, then magic can happen. Then a strange inner chemistry can take place. And we are breaking the rules of the West that says you have to do it for yourself. We say no, when we come together for His sake, then He can do what He wills. Then our beloved can help His mystery, can make His mystery of love come alive. And it is His world, and we are His servants. And each of these threads of love has a specific role to play in the unfolding miracle of His oneness, in the awakening of His world. And when they come together, in time, in place, in the outer world, when the inner and the outer come together, then we can participate in something coming alive, in some miracle. We may know not what it is with our mind, but we can say, yes, beloved, use me. And then these threads of love can be woven according to His will, in time and space and out of time and space. This is the mystery of presence, of really being present in the inner world and the outer world. And this is what we are going to try to do for these few days. So you may say it is a few people, it is a few days, but it doesn't matter, because real mysticism, real spirituality happens out of time and out of space, as well as in time and in space. This is when the two worlds come together. This is the meeting of the inner and outer. When the infinite comes into the finite. When the soul's remembrance of God comes down into the body, into the mind, into the breath. And I think it is so important to give this note of love to the world. To say together, yes, we believe in our beloved. We are here for your sake. We believe there is a truth so important that we live our life for its sake. And it is up to all of us together to be present, to enable it to happen, to enable something to come alive, to say yes. It is so simple. But we live in a world that has forgotten the power of love, the power of divine love. Hollywood speaks of love, all so many romantic novels, but the love that belongs to Sufism is different. It is like 100% pure alcohol. It is alive with his presence. And it is a tremendous power. So please, friends, during this weekend, just remember we are here for his sake. We are here for the sake of our beloved. I think it is a wonderful thing to have a beloved. To have a beloved who to whom you belong. Who has looked into your heart and said, I want you. I want you to remember me. I don't want you to forget me anymore. And this is really the greatest secret that can be given to a human being. The secret of a heart that is awakened. And then to bring it together in the world as an affirmation of his truth, not our truth. His truth. And not to take it too seriously. If we take it too seriously, we try to hold it and make it our own concepts and everything. Remember, it is always different to how you expect. If there's anything I have learned in 30 years on this path, it's that one doesn't know what's going to happen, it's different to what you expect, and he has an unbelievable sense of humor. And if he can laugh at you, he will. That's why the Sufi hero is Nasruddin. He is full of mischief. Of course, he is full of wrath and beauty and many other things as well. But he has a wonderful sense of humor. So please also enjoy the weekend. Otherwise, oh no, otherwise it's one of those serious spiritual undertakings and we all know what they are like. They're kind of. It is a time to be together, to enjoy being together, and to forget ourselves and to remember him. So, in a moment, Camille is going to read us some poetry and we're going to have some music, and then when that is finished, the music will take us into 20 minutes of silence, just to be together in silence. And many of you have your own practices, your own meditations, of course, to do. If anybody is interested, I would just share with you one particular silent meditation which belongs to my Naqshbandi path. It's a very simple heart meditation. and you begin by thinking of somebody whom you love. Now, of course, it can be the great beloved, the one to whom your heart belongs, but for many people at the beginning, the beloved is an abstract concept. It isn't a living reality. Later it becomes a tremendous presence in your life. But at the beginning it can be a concept, so it is often easier to think of somebody whom you love. And to create this feeling of love in the heart. And what I have discovered is that love has many different qualities. For some it is warmth. For some it is sweetness. For some it is a strange sorrow. For some love is silence. It has many, many different qualities, love. So you just hold this feeling of love in your heart and then put the whole of yourself into the heart. Put the whole of yourself into your heart. There is this beautiful saying, heaven and earth cannot contain me, but the heart of my devoted servant can. And you can immerse the whole of yourself, everything, all of yourself into the heart. It will expand. It is as big as the universe, you know. The heart chakra can be as big as the universe. So you, and then when thoughts come, which sadly in the West often thoughts come in meditation, you just put the thoughts into the love. Just drown the thinking process in the love. And just stay in the love, in the silence, in the love. That is one Sufi heart meditation. So, as I say, Camille will now read us some beautiful passages and then with some music.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To begin, I'd just like to thank Llewellyn for calling us all here and for all the lovely friends of the Golden Sufi Center who are holding us so beautifully, and each of you who have come to join in this journey together this weekend as we explore further this unity of inner and outer. And in such a beautiful place, we are held here in nature, and truly nature itself is such a reminder of that unity of being. Perhaps the human being is born with that sense of unity. And truly, as infants, there's such a oneness with the mother. And as we grow, we go into this miraculous creation and sometimes wander a while before some whisper or glimpse calls us back to this reality of unity, of being. Maybe something like a leaf on a tree that thinks for a while that it's just this separate leaf out there waving, and then remembers to turn and see, ah, it's really connected all the way through the branch to the trunk to the root, and that sap that's rising continually, and the air and moisture that are moving through. Recently, we were asked to bring together an anthology of some nature writings that reflect some of this sense of unity. And I came across a wonderful passage that spoke so much of the integration, especially of water and air, and how there's this continual passaging that at the edge of every waterfall, those droplets of water are merging into air, and over every sea or body of water, the air is kissing the water and drawing it into itself. There's this continual breathing happening, and within ourselves also, as we're 75% water, there's that continual passaging of inner, of outer, breath by breath. And sometimes we forget and then are reminded again. Sometimes it might be a prophet who comes to remind us, or a friend of God. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, was one who very much integrated inner and outer. He was a family man, a businessman, and someone very much involved in his community, and at the same time deeply open and receptive to spirit. And it is to his example and the revelation of the Quran that passed through him that really opened a way that became this expression of Sufism. One of the most beautiful short chapters of the Quran is the Surah Inshirah. And it seemed particularly appropriate in these times somehow to just share that as a reminder in this moment. It's a short surah that came to him in recognition of the opening of his heart, and with the reminder that truly with every difficulty comes ease. And it's actually one of the few places in the Quran where a verse is repeated with this emphasis. So in the short surah, it simply says, "In the name of God, the infinitely compassionate, the infinitely merciful, have we not expanded your chest, your heart, and removed from you the burden that weighed down your back and increased your remembrance? Truly, with every difficulty comes ease. Truly, with every difficulty comes ease. And so when you have been emptied, continue to strive and turn to your sustainer with longing." And since we are so much composed of water, we're made incredibly receptive to sound. So even though this will be something of an approximation, perhaps in sharing the Arabic of the verses, something of the original might come through. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alam nashrah laka sadrak wa wadana anka withrak alladhi ankada tarak wa rafa'na laka thikrak. Inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra, fa'idha faragta fansab, wa ila rabika farab. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. In a passage in his Masnavi, Jalaluddin Rumi echoes something of this in a portion of his verses where he says, "Listen, open a window towards God. and begin to delight yourself by gazing upon him through the opening. The business of love is to make that window in the heart, for the breast is illumined by the beauty of the Beloved. Therefore, gaze incessantly on the face of the Friend. This is in your power. Listen. In the midst of difficulty, one of the greatest bringers of ease is friendship. And friendship on this journey is such a blessing. One of the great friendships that we have as an example is the friendship between Mevlana Celaleddin Rumi and Shamsi Tabriz. And for those who might not know who they are, Celaleddin Rumi was a great Muslim scholar and mystic, very immersed in Sufism in the 1200s in what is now Turkey. And one day, a wandering, fiery dervish named Shems of Tabriz stepped up and grabbed the reins of his donkey and began to speak. And from that moment, a deep friendship opened and created such a intensified fire in Mevlana, as he's called, Celaleddin Rumi, that he became a fountain of love and overflowed with many verses of love for God and the witnessing of this oneness of creation. And we'd like to share with you, with our brother Nuruddin, some of his words. O fiery beloved, O fiery charmer, you who bring tranquility to hearts, come near. We are your soil, thirsty for your water, your planting. Sow the seed of abundance and fidelity with your hand. Sow that new plants and bright flowers might grow on this earth. At the bottom of every well, a reflection of the beautiful moon-faced, rose-cheeked Joseph opens. But put aside that story and listen to a new one. A saint came to me with a rose in his hand. I asked, "Where is that from?" He said, "From that land." I said, "There's no trace of that spring in this world. Here there are 200 thorny wounds for every rose." "No, that spring is also here," he said, "but you don't see it. Your eyes are darkened and confused. Purify and cleanse your heart of distractions. Throw away the hashish of illusion and see the garden and the meadow. When you mount the camel, it bows its head. forget the bazaar and the market and ride your camel to the rose garden. Among those who have shared the fragrance of the rose garden and helped us to see how to proceed in this journey of unification, there have been many women in the Sufi path that have brought light for us. And among them, one of the best known is Rabia al-Adawiya, a woman who lived in the 700s in what is now Iraq, who at an early age was sold into slavery. And yet it was her devotion to God that eventually earned her freedom. After the long day's work, through the night she would stay in prayer. And one night, her master happened to come down and see her immersed in prayer and bathed, surrounded, imbued with light. And in the morning, gave her her freedom. And when she was asked how she arrived in such a unity of being, she answered, "I did it by saying, let me hide in you from everything that distracts me from you, from everything that comes in my way when I want to run to you." And it was she who many credit with the language that we recognize as particularly of the Sufi path, that of the beloved. And she tells us further, "O God, whenever I listen to the voice of anything you have made, the rustling of the trees, the trickling of water, the cries of birds, the flickering of shadow, the roar of the wind, the song of the thunder, I hear it saying, God is one. Nothing can be compared with God. My joy, my hunger, my shelter, my friend, my food for the journey, my journey's end. You are my breath, my hope, my companion, my craving, my abundant wealth. Without you, my life, my love, I would never have wandered across these endless countries. You have poured out so much grace for me, done me so many favors, given me so many gifts. I look everywhere for your love. Then suddenly, I am filled with it. O captain of my heart, radiant eye of yearning in my breast, I will never be free from you as long as I live. Be satisfied with me, love, and I am satisfied." Lady Dafisa, a great granddaughter of the Prophet Muhammad, was another who lived very much in unity. and tried to be very much available to her community with whatever need might arise. And there was a time when the Nile had ceased to rise to fertilize the banks, as usually happened. And they came to her asking for her help. And she gave them her veil. With her prayers, they took it to the Nile and cast it into the waters. And immediately the Nile rose and overflowed the banks once again. So in this journey, as one is able to open both inner and outer for that flowing, there is an increased ability to respond to need. Another who we look to as a beautiful example of that profound receptivity of spirit is Mary, Mother of Jesus. And one finds in the Mihrab, the place of direction of prayer, a wonderful inscription often there that is from the Quran about Mary and the time that she spent in the sanctuary before the coming of the angel Gabriel. The verse is, "In the name of God, the infinitely compassionate and infinitely merciful, whenever Zechariah visited her in the sanctuary, he found her already provided with food. He would ask, 'O Mary, from where did this come to you?' And she would answer, 'It is from God. See how God grants sustenance to whom he wills beyond all reckoning.'"